Page 69 in your hymnals, Channels Only, page 69. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 69.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and blessed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
69 on the second.
Empty then thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but hast thou given us, graciously.
People sit in the front row.
Out there.
Not back here.
You're racist.
I am. The closer you are up front, the better.
Wait.
Are we going to get any more snow?
No.
It's going to be 50s all week.
Amen.
Right? Climate. I'm into this climate change stuff. If it's warm, I'm a believer. Ready to pray? How many of you have something on your heart you're praying about? Is it something that only God can do? Because if you can do it, take care of it. But if you can't do it, ask him, right? Nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
You believe that God can meet any need that you have?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can meet any need that you have?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can meet any need that you have? I know you're like a parrot. Yeah. Do you believe that God can meet any need that you have?
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not, he can. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you that we could be here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for music. Thank you for your house. Thank you for teaching us. I pray we'll learn tonight. I pray we'll change. I pray that our hearts will not be hard. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 57 in your hymnals, the name of Jesus. Page 57.
The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to me. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus, Jesus, oh how sweet the name, Jesus, every day the same, Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever.
On the second,
I love the name. I love the name of Jesus, Jesus, oh how sweet the name, Jesus, every day the same, Jesus, let all saints proclaim its worthy praise forever.
On the last,
no word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. It's worthy praise forever.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Put those two together. The suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You believe he did that?
Amen.
We know he did. He knows what it would be like if you died and went to hell. That's why he came. Well, we have to be careful not just to go, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm glad. Do you know what he did for you?
Yes.
The suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so he could taste death for every man. He did that for you and I. Man, you ought to be singing like that. I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you are. But you ought to. Do we need to sing to Margaret again?
I don't know what you think.
I don't know.
Sure.
Nah. Okay. Sing to Margaret again.
All right. She's worth it.
Don't forget, it's Margaret.
Margaret.
Margaret. Okay, here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Margaret. Happy birthday to you.
She's 21. She's old enough to drink. That's what she told me. Hey, Margaret, I know how to get people in trouble, don't I?
Yes.
Wednesday, we're going to be here. And I mean, we're planning on it, right, if the Lord doesn't come. There are things in there, of course. The bowling party for the teens, note that. How to deal with your anger. I crossed that out. I don't want to deal with my anger. I like being mad. Ushers are coming. Ushers, will you come? Easter is late this year, is it not? Is it the end of April? Wow. Seems like it should be soon with the weather and everything, but ready? Why do we give? Because he gave all. We don't give because we need something. We give because we love him. And he said, hey, by the way, given it shall be given unto you. That's a tremendous promise, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Kind of feel like if he tells you that, creates the wrong motive. But if, Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God knows what's happening in your heart. Huh? He knows if you're really with it. He knows if you're listening. He knows if your motives are right. He doesn't just say, oh, good, they're in church. Listen, take notes. Say, God, change me. God, change me. Right? If you were the Lord and you had 12 guys that you taught as in disciples, and they kept messing up, they kept not believing, they kept saying dumb stuff, wouldn't you get frustrated? Wouldn't you say, you know what, I'm going to pick 12 others. That was just an example of us, right? We do the same thing. So just say tonight, God, teach me, show me something, change me. Hey, will you pray that? Two words, change me. Change me. See, I don't need to be changed. I'm pretty much what I should be. That right there shows me you're not. God, change me. Hello?
Amen.
Father, yes, please, please, change me. Your word is so powerful. Thank you for it. Thank you, we can give. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Playing a trombone just doesn't come out right.
Yeah, we can.
Please take your hymnals once again. Page 59, For the Beauty of the Earth. Page 59. Let's all stand, shall we? Seated. Kenzie's coming to sing now.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause to worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counsel and Power, the protection of His chosen treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises well, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, and to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Can you have a favorite?
Yeah, I do.
I want you to think about something. 9 times 9 minus 1 divided by 8 plus 2 divided by 6 is... Who said 2? Oh, yeah, Pat. Some of you guys are good. That's a fact, isn't it? I can do another one so you guys can get this one, all right? 7 times 7 minus 4 divided by 9 plus 2 divided by 7. I don't know, I lost it. 1! There you go. Josh got it, 1. Those are facts. Something that just triggered the last few weeks to me has been, if somebody asks me that or says to me that there's no God, I would say, have them write out the date that it is. What is today, March?
9.
2025. The fact is, something big happened 2025 years ago. So if they don't believe in God, they better start taking that date off, because it doesn't matter to them. So I just thought, man, that has just stuck in my mind. I don't know where I heard that, who told me that, but man, that is such a fact that 2025 years ago, there was a big event. Our whole universe wraps around that.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this, because I dug through some of my stuff that somebody had sent me a long time ago, and I thought, this is good. A woman had just returned to her home from an evening of church services when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing the home of its valuables and yelled, "Stop, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven." The burglar stopped in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All the old woman did was yell scripture to you." "Scripture," replied the burglar. "She said she had an axe and 2.38s. Knowing scripture can save your life in more ways than one.
So, Steve, you want me to do the training at Napanee for you? I can stop a lot of burglaries now. Acts 2:38. So I've been reading in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and it's sort of depressing because you see all the kings that are there. And after their name, you know and I know what the Bible says. They did evil in the sight of God, or they did good in the sight of God. And as I read these names of these kings, I can't even pronounce them, but I thought, I wonder, I'm reading a lot of evilness going on here. So I did a little research. Hopefully it's all correct. But there were 42 kings for Judah and Israel and the United Kingdom. There were 42. This blows my mind. As I was reading it so much, I thought, man, I got to find out how many were really good, how many were evil. There were 30 evil. There are five that they say were a combination. I don't know how that can be. But there were only seven of those 42 kings that did right in the eyes of God. That's 17%. That's less than one out of five. And when I thought about that and I was reading it, I thought, man, how does that all come about? Because some of their dads were doing the right thing and then their kids do the wrong thing, and it's all about choices. And I thought of one word. I thought of the word family. I thought of family. I thought of, I'll title it Home Sweet Home. You know, what's it like at your home? What's it like at my home? And so I thought I'd just share a few things. I don't even have like a true passage that you can follow along. I just have verses randomly. So if you want to look them up, you can. I have them right here, so I'm going to read what I need to read. But I thought I'd just share some of those things because family is so important. And it starts with us, and it starts with us at our house, how we conduct ourselves, what we do, how we do it. And some of us have kids. Some of us have grandkids. Some of you may not be married. You're going to need all this. Nate, how many more days is it till you're married? 84. He's got it down. Good. So Psalm, did I miss something? Oh, you got time. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, and the watchman walketh but in vain." It's called the foundation. To have God as a foundation of our family. I am so thankful. When I was younger, I didn't realize this. But I am so thankful God put me in the home that I was raised in. I do not remember not going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. That, for me, salvation at the age of 50 years ago, it wasn't a drastic thing for me. But that's a miracle in my life. That I didn't have to go through some of the stuff that some people went through. But I look at their testimony and I see how they went through stuff that some of us haven't encountered. And how God turned their life around and what a miracle that is. So our testimony, our lives can be such a witness for others, but God says, hey, have the right. God says, except the Lord build the house. God wants to be part of our family, of our foundation. So to have, number one, God as a foundation of our life. You know, our prayer should be the same as Joshua's. But as for me and my house will serve the Lord. Genesis 18:19 says, "For I know him that he will command the children in his household after him, and they shall keep
the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring up on Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Man, in other words, to be able as a family to serve, to have that in back of your mind to serve. Man, my family, the way I was raised, my wife's family, man, the same thing. She was brought up with godly people who had them in church. Father-in-law was a Sunday school teacher. He knew the Bible. He knew it well. And to be able to say, hey, I want God as a foundation of my life. And then number two, to just say, according to this verse in Genesis 18:19, that I know that I want to do justice and I want to have judgment in my life. I want to, in other words, be able to serve God. Mm-hmm. Pastor Garza, who is one of our missionaries, just a powerful testimony for him. He was at Walmart. This was a few years ago in Indianapolis. He had come back from Guadalajara, Mexico, serving in a church in Indianapolis, a Spanish-speaking church. And he had pulled up to the Walmart there, and he had a van, you know. And all of a sudden, he turns around, and there's a guy with a gun in front of him saying, I want the keys to your van, taking the van. Pastor Garza said, no. He said, I need the keys to your van. He goes, you don't understand, sir. I need this van to pick up people for church. I need this van for ministry for our church. And he started explaining the gospel. The guy put the gun away and walked off. Amen. When we serve, when we do things for the Lord, how powerful God can use situations that we don't even know about. But in this illustration with Pastor Garza, what a powerful message that he says, hey, I need this because of serving the Lord. Amen. So foundation for a family to serve. And then number three, Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And thine house. Man, I hope that we as a family make sure that we reach out to those that are in our family. Boy, our prayer list on the save side, there's a lot of people in this church that have on there their saved loved ones that they want to definitely see get saved. They have it on the prayer list. We all have loved ones that we can think of that we question maybe their salvation. So to know as a family, to make our home sweet home, to have God as a foundation, to serve him, to reach out to especially those that are within our household. And then number four, make sure our family is an outreach to other people. Mark 5:19 says, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things that the Lord hath done. That is in reference to the man who God had just cast out the demon. And this man went into the swine drowned, and this guy is like, he was naked, he cut himself, he did all those things. And God got a hold of him, and God changed his life. He was clothed. The Bible says he was in the right mind. And then he wanted to be with Jesus, and Jesus told him to go to thy household. Amen. Not to stick around him. You've been healed. It's time to go. That two-letter word, go. An outreach. A few years ago at we live out in the country by Potato Creek, and it was one of those situations that God put something on my heart, but I didn't know he was putting it on Lynn's heart. And, you need to pray for her, by the way. She's in Florida. But she fell, sprained her wrist. I said, that's what you get. That's what you get, leaving Ty and I home alone. So, and I said, this is not an excuse. You are not staying longer. You are coming home Wednesday. Now I lost my train of thought. Oh, so we both had something on our mind, and it came together
we wanted to do, reach out to our neighbors, which we don't even know them because we're not like side by side, we're like acreage, to reach out to them just to do just a couple weeks of Bible study. So Lynn and Ty went around the neighborhood to hand out flyers to our neighbors. We had two ladies come. And that's sort of awkward. Because I'm there, and Jim and Beth Ann helped us. And so we did a Bible study, and I didn't know where they were coming from. They didn't know where I was coming from. But my goal was, you know, share the gospel, obviously. Two ladies, and we did the Bible study for just a few weeks. And then we got a call that one of them had cancer, and she passed away. It was quick. And I think, man, how God can use situations. I believe she was saved. Amen. But you never know. As a family, as a household, and I'm not saying that just to say it, I'm just saying it, if God puts something on your heart, make sure you do that. Make sure you do that. So as a family, home sweet home, have God as a foundation, serve. Make sure we reach out to those that are saved within the family if they're not, an outreach. And then number five, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, basically says that we should honor the Lord through our conduct of our home. I hear some things, and I'm thankful that I never saw my dad hit my mom. I never saw that. I've never hit Lynn. She never hit me. But I know that there's families like that, that's happened. And the words that come out of people's mouths, I mean, when I go home, I don't want screaming. I don't want any of that. And I pray as a Christian family that none of us in here have that kind of household. The conduct that God wants us to have is one of those that should be God-honoring. And then in Psalm 25 and verse 8, it says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. As a family, church should be important. I've said this before. Some of you that are new haven't heard it, so I'm going to say it. My dad worked at the South Bend Tribune for 30-some years. He was an engraver for the newspaper. Now we hardly even see a newspaper. But he worked in the factory, and if you remember, on Sundays, that newspaper was thick. I mean, coupons, everything. So my dad would go in on Sunday morning and work from like 8 to 2 or 3, come home, then he'd go back and work till the paper got done. Sometimes it'd be 2 in the morning, sometimes it'd be 6 in the morning. It depended on the paper. I never remember my dad staying home on Sunday morning. He had every excuse to stay home. Never did I ever remember him not getting us to church. And I think about the testimony that is now in my life. And I see some of you that, I want to phrase it right, that have disabilities and you're coming. You know, that is such a testimony. You may not realize it, but it is. And you come, and it may take you 2 or 3 times as long to get ready as it does people who can just get here like that. But man, what a testimony. So as a family, to have God as a foundation, to serve, make sure they're saved, and outreach, the conduct, and to be the church goer that we need to. And then number 7, Proverbs 3:33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he that is blessed, the habitation of the just. Man, I want to be blessed. I want to be able to know that the Lord is in every situation. I told this and to Awana and actually in Sunday school this morning. So one of the things that I like to do is listen to some of the preachers, Billy Graham and some of the others that I listen to. And there's a guy, Pastor Jace, that had a situation in his life that when he was young, went to a public school. He's 14 years old. There was a girl there named Angel. And Angel was outspoken for the Lord. She brought her Bible. She was at a basketball game. He was in front of her. She started giving him the gospel at age 14. And he listened. He said, that's when I got saved. It was through this girl who was outspoken. People would say things like, hey, we're going to have a party, and she knew it was the wrong thing, and she would be outspoken and say, that's just stupid. Why would you go that route? Why would you do that? And he said she made a huge impact on my life. And he said that a couple years later, she was killed in a car wreck. He said, I don't understand that. I don't understand why for 20 years he could not come to grips why the Lord would take Angel, what a fitting name, from the earth when she was the one that was so outspoken, was so godly, and then that happened. He wrote in his book a little bit about her, and actually her parents got a copy of the book, brought it to him at his house. He didn't know that they were going to do that, that they were going to show up, and they actually brought her Bible, the one that she brought to school, and gave it to him. And he said, I lost it. That here was the Bible that she was had at school 30 some years ago, and the parents just gave it to me. He said, as I flipped through it after they left, there were verses, there were Bible verses marked, but in the front of her Bible was her favorite verse, and it said John 3:16. He said, I knew that verse, but he said, I opened up her Bible to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he kept reading, should not perish. And he said, that's when it triggered in my life that she's not here, but she has everlasting life. And then it clicked with him on Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. That was her purpose in her life, to give out the gospel. It was her purpose for whatever reason God allowed that car accident to happen. And he said, here I am 30 years later sharing this on national podcasts to people. And he said, now I get it. It was her life that was used to help other people. And he said all of that, and then I'm thinking, man, now I get to share that. I don't even know this Angel. But then I get to share it. And what a testimony. And I don't even know this lady, but this young girl at age 14 was willing to be blessed through God through all that situation and to see how other people can benefit from her life. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and are delivered. God, for our family, it should be a prayer of protection. Things happen in lives that we don't understand, but we know that through God, as Romans 8:28 says, that it will work together for them that love God. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established.
Solomon asked one of the, God says, I give you anything you want. We know the story that he asked for wisdom, the best thing he could have, and then God blessed him through all the other things that, because of wisdom and through his life. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 helps us realize our permanent home is in heaven and we're just passing through this life. It's called the word focus. Man, to have the focus on God, on eternity. Wow, if we could just grasp that in our life, to think more on the things heaven-bound than hear what's on earth. As I get older, I'm thinking of strange things that I'm doing at my house. I just had a new roof put on. I'm thinking that could be the last roof I ever put on. I hate that thought. And you're thinking, man, in 20 years or 25, I may never have to put another roof on this house. Those are odd things when you get older. You know, you're young, but Angel was 16. Anytime, anywhere, it can happen. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make thy face shine upon thee and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Boy, our home should be a place of peace. Man, I would hate to be driving home from work thinking, I don't really want to go there because I don't want to hear it. When I go home, there's that. When you turn in the driveway, you can sense your home. You can relax. It should be peaceful. So these things, as far as family, foundation, serving God, serving, outreach, conduct, church, being blessed, protection, wisdom, focus, peace, all these things are awesome things that as a home should be home sweet home. I'm reminded of John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A lot of people want to find the way. A lot of people want to find the way. May we be willing to, when those opportunities come up, be willing to share the way to people. He says he's the way, the truth. How many people want truth today? Wow. Everything you turn around, politic-wise, they're lying, this one's lying. What a mess. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to end with this. God said no. God said no. I asked God to take away my habit. God said, no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give up. I like what Pat said last week about the gentleman, I forget who it was. Was it related to you, Matt? Gave up cigarettes. Yeah. And put them on the shelf. No, it's not for me to take away that habit, but for you to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no. His spirit is whole. His body is only temporary. My nephew, Craig and Sandy's son, has Costello disease. He's 32 years old. They can't believe he's lived that long. But when he comes here, he's this tall. His back is so bad, I don't even know how he can walk. But he has a tube in his stomach. He still eats that way. And I think of him and his disability that he has. But when it says the child, God asked my handicapped child, he said no. His spirit is whole. Evan's spirit is whole. When he goes to church, you know he's there. He says hi to people. He's at the back door making sure they brought their checkbook.
He's the only one that can say that. And they love it. They love heaven. I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted, it's earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to be fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others. And as much as he loves me, God said, ah, finally you have the idea. This day, this week is yours. Don't throw it away. Pastor.
Go ahead and stand, if we can get a pianist. God's talked to you, I know he has. Did you already pray, change me? He showed you something, didn't he? What are you going to do about it? Your home, yeah. Your family, yep. Yeah. All that's great, man. That's just, we need it. But don't leave here and say, yeah, that was good. Leave here and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God wants me to do. This is what I need to choose and decide. We want you to have that opportunity. Piano's going to play. Why don't you just come? You don't need to raise your hand. God's speaking to your heart as she plays. You're going to make a decision tonight. You need to leave your seat. Say, well, wait, I wasn't planning on that. I know, but come on, leave your seat. God's speaking to your heart. Leave your seat. Make a decision. Tell God, God, you need to be the foundation of my home. You say, just me and the wife. Hey, he still needs to be the foundation. Man, he's there. Just the two of you, you got little kids, be the example to them. Show them. They know nobody else is around. Home is where we say we let our hair down. Yeah, but we still need to be Christians. God's speaking to your heart. She's playing. Come on, come on. You need to come. You make a decision. God, change me. Change me. People need to hear. It's easy to tell them when you believe it, when you're living it. It's hard to tell them if you don't believe it and you're not living it. You say, no, I believe it. Yeah, but you don't believe it enough to live it. It ought to be real in your life. Well, I'm praying for someone to be saved. But Roger said it tonight. Go. Yeah, pray, but then go. Go after them. Let them know it's real. Let them know it works. I'm going to pray. If you need to come, you come as I pray. If you're up here praying, don't hurry away. Finish up. Our Father, we know that your word is as we heard tonight, a fact. When you told us you are the way, the truth, and the life, we know that that is unchanging. You are always the same. You can't change. You don't change. And I'm glad we have your word to guide our lives, to show us the right way, to lead us. How we need that. Thank you, God. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for men that can preach. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, that we can be together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.